Good morning, and welcome to Charlottesville Community Engagement for March 16th, 2024. I'm Sean Tubbs, a local journalist who created a company called Town Crier Productions 4 years ago to increase coverage of what municipal governments do in the area around Charlottesville. This week on the radio program, we solely look at public transportation in the community and efforts to increase service while also choosing vehicles that will help Charlottesville meet goals to eliminate greenhouse gas emissions by 2050. On the program today, the Regional Transit Partnership directs staff to prepare the bylaws for a potential regional transit authority. Charlottesville City Council agrees to a pilot project where Charlottesville Area Transit buys 2 battery electric vehicles now and agrees to have staff research the potential purchase of 2 hydrogen fuel cell vehicles in 2027. And the interim CEO of Jaunt responds to comments made by a representative of the transit union for the city of Charlottesville to end its contract with Jaunt. In today's first public service announcement, this March, the Jefferson Madison Regional Library and Virginia Humanities invite all Central Virginians to read and discuss the book Florence Adler Swims Forever by Rachel Beanland during the 2024 Same Page Community Read event. This annual community-wide reading initiative gives book groups and individuals the opportunity to explore the themes of a single book by an author appearing at the Virginia Festival of the Book. To learn more about Same Page programs and events, including an appearance by Rachel Beanland, visit jmrl.org. Since 1980, Albemarle County's growth management strategy has been to locate residential and commercial density around the city of Charlottesville to avoid development of the rural area. Albemarle's last comprehensive plan was adopted in June of 2015, and Strategy 8E calls for the county to
participate in the formation of a regional transit authority that is sufficiently funded to significantly expand transit service in the region with fast, frequent transit service along priority transit corridors.
Nearly 9 years later, a lot of planning work has gone into the idea, with one deliverable being the formation of a regional transit partnership consisting of Albemarle, Charlottesville, and the University of Virginia. The city and UVA each own separate bus systems with very little overlap. Albemarle contracts with Charlottesville to fund Charlottesville Area Transit Service. The idea of an authority was floated once before in the late 2000s, and legislation to create one passed the General Assembly. However, legislation to authorize a sales tax increase failed to get out of committee, and the idea was shelved. In the mid-2020s, the situation in Charlottesville looks much the same as it did in the late 2000s, with 3 different transit systems with 3 different fleets. Ridership on CAT during that time has plummeted from 2.4 million in unlinked trips in 2013 to 1.15 million in 2022. With some funding from the Virginia Department of Rail and Public Transportation, the Thomas Jefferson Planning District Commission has led 2 studies. A $350,000 regional transit vision plan offered 2 frameworks for more frequent running transit with the annual cost estimate of $35.5 million for service that would extend across all 6 localities in the TJPDC. Then, the Regional Transit Governance Study reviewed potential ways of how a new regional transit authority might bring in additional funding to help cover the cost of that expanded service. The firm AECOM worked on both studies. Stephanie Amoning-Yankson is with AECOM.
How could we find additional funds for the increased service that we wanted to be provided by this authority?
After over a year of work, the number one finding of the governance study is to pick right up from March of 2010, when Albemarle and Charlottesville opted to shelve the authority.
At the end of the study, what we recommended was activating, there's an existing legislation for the region that allows for setting up a transit authority. It's available by legislation, but it does not have any funding associated with it.
Amoning Yangson said this would be an interim step to allow further discussion and that Albemarle and Charlottesville should join immediately. The other TJPDC localities are named in the 2000 legislation, so their participation would not be a legislative obstacle. Another next step would be to create a working group to draft bylaws and to shore up the organization before seeking legislation to bring in more revenue. The study recommends further conversations with UVA about their eventual participation.
Other regions in the country that have major universities, we noticed that the university systems were often crucial partners to the region and it many times provided financial resources for transit in the region.
Another recommendation is further study of what transit services are really needed in the rural areas.
Several of our stakeholder meetings with the rural localities, we realized that the localities wanted to better understand what kind of transit they needed. At a detailed level, wanted to understand the proportions of their population that need transit service so that they can make better decisions on how much they want to invest in transit as well.
There's a survey towards those rural transit needs that's out currently. There's a link in the newsletter, but the Regional Transit Vision Plan did not go into that level of detail. If the different localities decide to proceed with the formation of the authority, the Regional Transit Partnership would disband. Details would depend on what the working group comes up with. Albemarle Supervisor Diantha McKeel is the chair of the partnership, and she said the whole idea is to fix a broken system.
We all recognize that transit in this community was not working for everybody, and we certainly had struggles. We also recognize that in order to build a robust transit system, we have to have money.
McKeel requested that staff begin the discussions of a work group to come back with recommendations within 90 days of February 22nd. However, staff suggested it may take at least 120 days to draw up that work that's already begun. Christine Jacobs, the director of the Thomas Jefferson Planning District Commission, confirmed that one meeting of TJPDC, Charlottesville, and Albemarle staff has occurred to develop those bylaws and the next steps for moving forward. The conversation about public transit that has generated the most oxygen has not been about whether it's running effectively. Instead, at least one advocacy group has been very vocal in their demands that the City Council immediately phase out the purchase of diesel buses in favor of battery electric vehicles. The newsletter has a link to four stories that I've written over the past 2 years on this particular process. On February 27, 2024, City Council had another work session on a recommendation from the firm Kimley Horn on how to proceed with transitioning Charlottesville area transit to fossil-free fuels. After a year of work, the consultant is recommending the purchase of 2 battery electric vehicles this year as a pilot and to buy 2 hydrogen fuel cell vehicles in 2027. Garland Williams is the director of Charlottesville area transit.
That would give us 2 different pilots. During the pilot, we're also looking at expansion of our fleet. Part of what we're trying to make sure that we do is provide adequate service for the community members who need our service, not just want our service.
To assist with that expansion, diesel replacement vehicles would also be purchased with a goal of 2040 to be carbon-free, 10 years before the city's deadline of 2050. An advocacy group called Seaville 100 has been demanding that the city purchase no more diesel vehicles and to buy battery electric vehicles instead. Another group, known as the Community Climate Collaborative, has been advocating for that as well, but has since come around to the phased approach. As the director of the city's Office of Sustainability, Crystal Ritterwald is responsible for guiding Charlottesville to meet its greenhouse gas emission goals. She explained the purpose of the Kimley Horn study.
What we're talking about is a feasibility study of shifting a fossil fuel fleet. It's not an implementation plan and it's not a design plan. Those are critical subsequent steps.
Ritterwald said the city's climate action plan calls for more people to ride public transit rather than use their own vehicle. That's been more difficult since the spring of 2020, when CAT began operating on reduced lifeline service, with reduced hours and no routes traveling on Sunday. Council was briefed on a realignment of bus routes in the spring of 2021, but that work has not yet been implemented, pending additional drivers. CAT is now seeking to move forward with those route changes, and it needs more vehicles to make it happen. The transition to a fully functional system would be more difficult if new buses are not reliable.
There will be issues to work through before we have alternatively fueled buses on the road, but this is how we get started.
Ritterwald said her recommendation to council is to proceed with the study, because the sooner CAT is more reliable, the sooner ridership will begin to rebound. According to a report to the Federal Transit Administration, there were 2.4 million in unlinked trips in 2013, a ridership figure that dropped to 1.15 million in 2022.
The proposed fleet expansion will allow CAT to provide improved transit frequency and reliability, addressing an important issue of transit equity. The pilot approach will allow CAT maintenance staff to gain familiarity with two technologies prior to widespread adoption. The recommendation is leadership by example. We are encouraging our community to pursue fleet transition to cleaner fuel sources and need to do this ourselves.
Council also heard from Ben Chambers, the city's transportation planner. He reminded council about the plan developed in 2021 to get CAT out of the lifeline service. Chambers did not yet work for the city at that time, and councilors Juan Diego Wade, Natalie Oshrin, and Brian Pinkston were not yet in office.
This fixed some of our routes, made them more direct, but it also added up some new service areas in the city and the county. It would have expanded Saturday service, returned some Sunday services, would have changed some transfer points in a few key areas around the system to make transfers less frequent, and added a little bit of recovery time on the end of each route so that our on-time performance for our routes would have improved.
To read an account of that time, I have a link in the newsletter from May of 2021 that went over the details. Chambers said the changes were not implemented due to a shortage of drivers, a shortage of vehicles, and a shortage of parts. Around the same time, the Thomas Jefferson Planning District Commission began work on its study of regional transit that culminated in the Regional Transit Vision Plan and the Regional Transit Governance Study. Chambers said these plans were more aspirational.
Some of the recommendations from this study sort of live in a reality that is outside of what CAT currently exists with, and we would have to, you know, restructure some routes very significantly with some of the recommendations that they came forward with. Things like making the trolley extend to Pantops would require further discussions between us and the county to make sure that they actually want that service and would have the capability of funding that service.
Meanwhile, CAT is working on a transit strategic plan required by the Virginia Department of Rail and Public Transportation. More details will be revealed at another work session on April 16th. In general, CAT wants to double the amount of service it offers in order to increase ridership. To do that, Chambers said there needs to be a reliable bus fleet, and the DRPT needs to know how CAT will ensure one is in place. City Councilor Natalie Oshrin said another tool at the city's disposal is to make driving a less viable option.
Like if we have dedicated bus lanes, then timing can be more accurate.
Absolutely.
Then it's also less handy to drive, so people will choose bus. There's other external factors we can apply to make it less attractive to be in a car, more attractive to be in a bus.
Council also heard from staff with Kim Lee Horn on specifications for the vehicles themselves. Here is Sam Sink with Kim Lee Horn.
The average battery electric that was available 2022 when we looked at this was about 150 to 350 mile range. Of course, this is significantly affected by external factors, you know, weather, ambient temperature, how the driver drives, bus occupancy, topography, all of these things can affect range.
Sink said they also tend to be more expensive than diesel buses, and they take time to recharge. That could mean a need to purchase more vehicles to ensure there are enough to deliver expanded service. Hydrogen fuel cell buses would have a range closer to diesel fuels of between 260 and 350 miles before the need to top up.
They're less susceptible to range decreases than BEVs. Some models may experience weather-related degradation, but certainly not to the extent of BEVs.
Sync said refueling for hydrogen would be about the same as refueling for a diesel or a compressed natural gas vehicle. However, these are more expensive than battery electric vehicles, with a 2021 cost of $1.15 million. Williams said the city would likely stop buying diesel buses after 2027 to meet the timeline to be fossil fuel free by 2040. Proceeding with the recommendations would provide more information to guide future decision-making, beginning with the two battery electric vehicles.
We would purchase our first this year, battery electric, the two. As soon as we get those, you know, assuming, you know, 18, 24 months, we'll be able to have them in operation about 2 years, then really get a test and feel for where we can use them.
You're listening to Charlottesville Community Engagement on WTJU, and let's take a quick break for another public service announcement. USA Dance Charlottesville will hold its next ballroom dance on Saturday, March 23rd, at the Center at Belvedere, located at 540 Belvedere Boulevard in Charlottesville. The evening dance will include ballroom, Latin, nightclub, and swing. The free pre-dance class is East Coast Swing and will be taught by a local professional. Doors open at 6:30 p.m., the class begins at 7, and the social dance begins at 8. Beginners are welcome and no partner is needed. Dress is smart casual to dressy attire. For entry fee and more information, visit usadanceseville.org. Now back to the program. We're in the middle of a segment on a decision before Charlottesville City Council about whether Charlottesville Area Transit should experiment with hydrogen fuel cell technology by buying two such vehicles in 2027. At the end of the presentation, councilors had their thoughts. Councilor Brian Pinkston said he could understand staff's concerns about the uncertainties of battery electric vehicles at this point in the technology's evolution, but he reserved his concern for hydrogen fuel cells.
I mean, I'm not the transit expert. I can't claim to be, but as an engineer, as a project manager, and I think about all those things, I'm like, I just don't think I trust hydrogen enough to go there.
Pinkston said there's enough creativity in the community to pursue battery electric vehicles and to deploy them on routes where they will be the most effective, especially if fast charging technology is pursued. Williams said some of the advocates seeking to persuade council have claimed that he himself is against any transition. He said that's not correct and that he wants the system to work reliably.
I have talked to my colleagues from California to New York to Illinois, and they're all saying there are concerns about the range on battery electric. I am not saying not to do it. I believe that we should do a portion of our fleet with battery electric.
Williams said CAT has to perform better before an aggressive approach is taken to change the entire fleet type.
Remember, we're not buying hydrogen until 2027. So it gives us a couple of years to figure out some of the infrastructure components.
And if the city can't find a source of hydrogen that doesn't take a lot of emissions to produce, the city could decide in the future not to proceed. Williams said giving him authorization to put this fuel source in the transit strategic plan would allow pursuit of funding for that option. At the end of the presentation, City Manager Sam Sanders pressed council for their direction, despite a torrent of advocacy from people who have not been elected to make one.
And you have a very big political decision to make. And I think that's why it has felt awkward and uncomfortable. And it's gotten a little more uncomfortable for me recently, just as folks have made comments that I'm even not supportive of battery electric buses or climate innovation as it relates to transportation, and that's not true.
Sanders reminded council that Williams had related the story of a transit system that is not working and more service is needed to fix it. He said 60-minute headways are not enough.
It is hard to innovate when you're falling apart.
To get to the decision at about the 2.5-hour mark of the work session, Sanders asked a direct question.
Are you interested in hydrogen being a part of this scenario or not? Are you interested in leaving it in the mix for consideration or not?
Sanders said if council opted to go solely with battery electric buses, CAT would need to try out multiple types. If hydrogen were to be selected as an option, staff would need to do more research between now and 2027. And here's where they stood. City Councilor Lloyd Snook said he would be interested in furthering research into hydrogen, but had concerns about whether there will be a market for the fuel in 2027. Councilor Pinkston said he would be willing to pursue hydrogen as a pilot, but only if the fuel is generated with low emissions. City Councilor Michael Payne had a similar position, but said he would prefer to experiment with different types of battery electric vehicles. City Councilor Natalie Oshrin said she was generally in support of more investment in transit.
There's too many single occupancy vehicles on the road, and we need to do what we can to provide an opportunity for people to make the choice to get somewhere faster and reliably in a communal way. So that's a bus, that's bike lanes, that's sidewalks.
Oshrin said she was not that interested in hydrogen, but could see leaving the option open for research. Mayor Juan Diego Wade said he supported the pilot, but still had questions.
I'm still not 100% clear on how this new technology will improve reliability. It reminds me of when I was on the school board and there was a big movement to improve the lunches and make it more healthy. And we did that and we implemented it in the schools, but all the kids threw most of the lunch away. And so we had the healthiest trash cans in the state of Virginia. And so I don't want to have the cleanest buses, but no one is on it because we don't have the resources.
With direction in hand to proceed with this pilot, Sanders thanked the staff at Kimley Horn for taking what he described as a light beating simply for doing their jobs. While staff at various local governments continue to put together potential bylaws for a regional transit authority, labor relations is another moving part in the complicated negotiations. At least 39 Charlottesville area transit employees are now members of the Amalgamated Transit Union, a move allowed by legislation in 2020 that allowed public employees in Virginia to engage in collective bargaining. On February 20th, 2024, one of their representatives asked council to consider ending a contract with Jaunt to provide services required by the Americans with Disabilities Act. John Ertel is with the Amalgamated Transit Union, Local 1764.
The Americans with Disabilities Act requires that any mass transit system in the country also provide equivalent transportation services to the disabled. Throughout this country, this so-called paratransit service is sometimes run in-house, and sometimes it's contracted out to a third party, usually for the sole purpose of saving money by reducing wages and benefits.
Ertel said localities contract out that service to save money through reduced wages and benefits, and he claimed employees at Jaunt have sought to organize.
The union then asked the Jaunt Board of Supervisors to recognize the union and pass a collective bargaining resolution that would enable those workers to unionize and bargain a contract, just like we did at CAT.
Ertel said 39 Charlottesville area transit and pupil transportation employees unanimously ratified their contract on February 4th.
This is a huge milestone for workers' rights in the city and for our public transit system.
Ertel said the board of directors of Jaunt claim that the enabling authority that passed the General Assembly in 2020 does not apply to their organization.
But in the end, their short-sighted refusal to grant union rights will only harm Jaunt as they lose employees to CAT.
Ertel said the union wants the city to explore ending its contract with Jaunt and to add paratransit services in-house. Mike Murphy is the interim CEO of the public service organization that is Jaunt, following the resignation last year of Ted Reek. In an executive committee meeting held on March 5th, Murphy told some of the board of directors that the Amalgamated Transit Union contacted some Jaunt employees, and in response, Jaunt management set up an employee relations committee.
A lot of that discussion focuses on pay as a result of what operators' impressions are of the signed union agreement in the city.
Murphy said he did not want to make any comment until the agreement is public. He did say Charlottesville area transit's base pay is already about 11% higher than Jaunt's base pay. He said he would be recommending a salary adjustment for operators before the end of the fiscal year, above and beyond the increase he's recommending for fiscal year 2025. Murphy had more details in a February 28, 2024 letter sent to council, in which he explained that Jaunt's status as a public service organization means that enabling authority for collective bargaining does not apply. He added that he contacted Delegate Katrina Carlson about carrying a bill to change that, but HB 780 ended up being incorporated into other legislation that did not make it out of the House Appropriations Committee this year. At the executive committee meeting on March 5th, Murphy played the audio of the comments made by John Ertel of the Amalgamated Transit Union. He said Ertel misrepresented John's position on collective bargaining.
We have had a legal consult on that from our in-house attorney, from a third-party attorney, believe that the state code does not enable us to have that discussion.
Murphy said that Jaunt would follow the collective bargaining process if it were authorized, but said the complicated nature of Jaunt's organizational structure does raise other questions. There are only a couple of minutes remaining today, and we'll end the radio version of Charlottesville Community Engagement with a preview of a future item in the newsletter. The Board of Commissioners of the Thomas Jefferson Planning District Commission also got an update on that transit governance study that we heard about earlier in the program. Staff at the Thomas Jefferson Planning District Commission have spent the last 2 years on two studies intended to investigate the possibility of enhanced public transit service in the region. Lucinda Shannon is a planner with the TJPDC.
The consultants recommended that we form a regional transit authority, and that would do regional transit planning. It would bring in additional transit revenue and also decide how to spend that revenue. It would have governance over the funding and the planning, and also provide oversight to ensure that the public money is being spent well and efficiently.
The study also recommends a rural needs assessment and further collaboration with the University of Virginia, which operates a bus system that's entirely separate from Charlottesville area transit. UVA is a member of the Regional Transit Partnership, but has not committed to taking the next step and is not part of a work group that is drafting potential bylaws for an authority's operations. Staff at the TJPDC are continuing to work with Albemarle and Charlottesville on the next steps for the creation of the authority. Albemarle County Supervisor Ned Galloway has this perspective.
Charlottesville and UVA have functioning transit operations. The urban ring of Albemarle County does not have a functional transit system.
Galloway said Albemarle sees the authority as a way of getting some say and control over a service that they're helping to pay for. County Executive Jeffrey Richardson has recommended a significant increase in transit funding in fiscal year 25, with the amount paid to Charlottesville Area Transit increasing 43% from $1.3 million in the current year to $1.86 million next year. Albemarle is also increasing the amount it is spending on microtransit from $450,000 in the current year to over $1.74 million in the next one. At their meeting on March 7th, the TJPDC adopted a resolution accepting the final governance study and giving approval to staff to proceed with further work. And that's the end of the radio program, Charlottesville Community Engagement, here on WTJU. I'm Sean Tubbs, and if you'd like to know anything else about any of these stories, please visit infoseville.com. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week with another set of stories.